Unless you perfectly obey the law of God, which you have not done for 5 minutes since you were born, you are under the curse of God.
Are you ready to sink your teeth into Scripture and get a bulldog grip on its truth? Listen on some doctrine and get bulldog mad.
That they will either bear the curse.
Pastor, we move on to chapter 15, which is the devotion is called Cursed, and it's written by R.C. Sproul. Now, R.C. Sproul, I know exactly who he is. Had the opportunity to hear him speak a couple times, and when I think of R.C. Sproul, God's holiness is what I think of, because I think that's what he really understood, the holiness of God. And it's my desire to understand the holiness, which I don't think is fully understandable, but that's one of the goals I have as a Christian. But he's talking about cursed today, and he looks at Deuteronomy chapter 21 through 23, which reads, "His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him in the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God." And Galatians 3:13, which reads, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." So when most people think of a curse nowadays, what do they think of?
Most people today think of some kind of magic formula, you know. A gypsy's put a curse on me. People talk about word curses and these kinds of things that they can, you can be hexed by somebody, or it's bad luck and so forth. A curse was in the ancient world, a curse simply meant a threat of judgment from someone who had the right to expect compliance with their laws. And when it says cursed of God in this instance, it is calling our attention that Christ bore our sins, which deserve God's curse.
Is everyone that fails to keep God's law cursed?
Yes, everyone. And notice, please, the way Dr. Sproul bears it out, whoever does not continue in the law of God is cursed. Who does not continue in all the things in the law. It's not just, well, I did a pretty good job of this thing. I am not too bad with that. And I like it. I think it was, it wasn't Dr. Sproul. It was again in that book of Michael Horton. He said, God does not grade on a curve. It's perfect righteousness or you're out the door.
Right.
Well, none of us are capable of perfect righteousness.
So are we justified by the law?
No. No, not by the works of the law.
Good thing, right?
Good thing, because nobody can do the full law. Nobody can do it except God. And he does it in the person of Jesus Christ.
Right. So when he says in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming that curse for us, what does that mean?
Well, it's that metaphorical language that Christ bore our sins, which were the reason we were under a curse. He satisfied the righteous demands of God that we couldn't satisfy. So and you have to always keep that metaphorical language in place, but that's basically what it means. We deserve to be cursed, be judged by God because of our sins. Christ took our sins, our judgment, okay? Bore the curse of those judgments, which was what? Which was death. He died in our place. Okay.
So Christ on the cross became our curse.
In that metaphorical sense, yes. He bore the curse. What was the curse? If you eat of that tree, you will die. The curse was death. He bore the curse that we deserved, making it possible for our spiritual, our eternal life. We're still going to die physically, but we're being redeemed from the separation that death would would exercise and does exercise for those that are not in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christ was being executed on the cross, and we see we talked about Deuteronomy, but Jews executed by stoning. Does that have any significance in what was happening on the cross?
It's greatly significant in that God's plan is unfolding according to the way God said it would unfold. Again, Romans weren't the only ones who crucified, okay? But crucifixion itself came about much later than the Deuteronomy prediction about cursed is someone hanging on a tree. And it is these kinds of images in the scriptures that Jesus unpacks to his disciples and says, this is, all these scriptures are talking about me, because they see that when he hangs on the tree, it is he's cursed of God. And the disciples are saying, as they reflect on this, wait a minute, hold everything. This guy was, why would he be cursed? He was cursed on our behalf. Mm-hmm. We are sinners, and we cannot pay that price. He must pay the price for us.
Amen. Well, Dr. Sproul went on. He says, just as a scapegoat was driven outside the camp, outside of the holy city, where the presence of God was concentrated, so Jesus was sent into the outer darkness. So on the cross, was Jesus forsaken by the Father and sent into outer darkness, away from the merciful presence of God, or no? That was a lot in that question.
Well, yeah, but it's, again, in the metaphorical realm, he is God. It is not it is not possible for him to be fully separated from God, but he does bear the shame and reproach of that separation in that metaphorical sense, outside the city, being crucified, being killed by his enemies. All of those things have to do with our separation from God and him paying the price.
So it says into darkness. Now we see the contrast, darkness and light, and sin quite a lot. Is this what the disciples should have seen? Because this actually was going on in Jerusalem right at the time that Christ was on the cross, correct?
Yeah, but they should have. But again, our spiritual, our sins have blinded us to the things of God. And we need someone to come along and say, now here's what that meant.
Right.
Okay. And it has, the explanation, of course, has to be consistent with Scripture. Jesus doesn't come along and say, now, boys, let me tell you what all this stuff means and make stuff up. He goes back to the Scripture and says, here's what all this stuff meant.
Right.
And we have to do the same. We're not helping people if we just make up some new story and give it some kind of import. We have to go back to the story. That here's what happened to Jesus, and here's what Jesus said, and here's why Jesus said it happened to him. Because this is the scriptures being fulfilled. God's plan is coming to pass.
So you interpret scripture with scripture.
Yeah. You don't go out and get some cockamamie idea and then try to find it in scripture, which is what a lot of people do.
Right.
You go back into the scripture itself.
Dr. Sproul goes on, he says, the sign of the old covenant was circumcision. So, and he says the rite had two meanings, a positive meaning and a negative meaning. What are the two meanings of circumcision?
Well, the positive meaning was that you are part of God's people now. And the negative meaning was you're cut off from God. You're separated from God. You don't have any connection or relationship with God. It was a symbol of God's people. And by the way, we're not saved by our physical circumcision, but the Bible does talk about the circumcision of the heart, that your heart has to be worked on, has to be surgically altered, if you will. Right. There's got to be something happening here, not just externally. The Jews looked at their physical circumcision and said, that's all we need. And God says, no, that is a symbol of a deeper need that you have inside.
Amen. That's kind of like the baptism is doesn't save you.
Right.
It's like your profession of faith of what's going on inside.
Inside.
It's an outward profession of an inward change.
Right. And that is the New Testament form of circumcision, quote unquote, mm-hmm. is baptism.
Right. Dr. Sproul says many died on the cross. But did anyone ever receive the full measure of the curse of God on the cross?
No.
Besides
Christ, no one could. No one could bear that. No one could bear it. The weight of the sins could only be borne by God himself.
Mm.
He's the only one who could possibly bear it. I'm trying to think of the passage where Jesus or Paul says, you know, some people might die for a loved one or friend. They might. But God commends his love in Romans chapter 5 or chapter 8. God commends his love to us, and while we were yet sinners, we weren't friends. We weren't people he cared about, but he died for us.
Right.
So that's a significant difference when you think about that.
That's when we talk about love. That's true love.
True godly love.
Yeah,
exactly.
When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, what was he talking about? The pain is life. Was he talking about the pain of that he was enduring on the cross? What was over? What is finished?
What is finished is the work of redemption. Certainly, we would argue that from a physical perspective, the suffering is ended. But what was the purpose of the suffering? To pay the price of sin. And that has been satisfied by his death.
So if he bore the curse, then the curse is over.
The curse is over for all those who put their faith in Christ. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So what does that mean to us, that the curse is over? What does it mean to Christians, and what does it mean to a non-Christian?
Well, to the non-Christian, there is no meaning. They're still under the curse. They're still lost. To the Christian, it means we do not live with the threat. Paul's Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation. The enmity between us and God has been removed when we put our faith in the work of Christ. The enmity is removed, and we have fellowship with God as our Father, not just as a deity who's running the universe, but as our Father, transforming us into the image of his Son, which is, again, in Romans chapter 8.
I was, Pastor, I always think about when I think the curse has been removed, you were talking about John 3:16 and how people take that out of context. If you read on down through verses 18, 19, and on, what do those verses tell us, and how does that affect the curse being removed at the cross?
Well, if you put your faith in Christ, you're not going to perish. But he goes on to say that if you don't believe in him, you're already condemned. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that people misunderstand that verse 17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But the reason he didn't do that is because the world is already under condemnation. People take verse 17 as a justification for their sin. And it's not that. It's a recognition. He doesn't have to come to condemn. You're already under a cloud of condemnation. Mm-hmm. And that's why you go on to the end of the chapter, verse 36. Whoever doesn't believe, the wrath of God abides on. The curse is still on you because you haven't put your trust in the death of Christ for your sins.
Right.
And that's...
that's something a lot of people don't realize. They're under this curse.
Already.
And the only way to get out from the condemnation of God is to come to the cross, come to Christ.
Right, correct? Exactly. And that's part of the default position of human beings, okay? We don't need God. But I fear that a great deal of the Christian church thinks that way now, because we just throw that verse out, John 3:16. God loves you. God loves you. And we don't give them the context. What makes God's love valuable is we deserve the curse. If we don't understand we deserve the curse, then the love of God is no better than anybody else's love.
Right.
It's just, okay, so God loves me. Why should I care whether God loves me? I got a lot of people that love me. It is because God took steps to rescue me from his own wrath. Mm. That's what makes the love of God so valuable.
Right, which makes me think back. I'll give a plug to her. One of our, I believe it was our first podcast, was R.C. Sproul, Saved From What?
Right.
And, what are we saved from? We're saved from God.
From the wrath of God.
From the wrath of God.
Yeah.
It's really when you give out the, when a Christian says John 3:16, it really ought to go with, what is it, Romans 5, where it says the wages of sin is death.
Right.
But the gift of God is eternal life through exactly. Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
That's the gospel.
That's the gospel. You have to string the pearls together, so to speak.
Right.
The gift of God. God so loved the world, he gave. The gift of his son brings eternal life.
Right.
But the wages of sin, the rejection is death.
Right.
And that's just something I'm afraid that our culture, our Christian culture, our church culture has lost the ability to string those pearls together. And we're taking this one pearl. Wow. And it is beautiful. God so loved the world, but it's meaningless if you don't understand that it isn't a affirmation of our value, but a proclamation of his great effort to rescue us.
Mm-hmm.
From the righteous wrath of God that we deserve.
So it's more than saying just, I believe.
Right.
It's much more.
I believe in God. I believe. I'm all right.
So the devils believe also, and they tremble.
Right.
So if you're not reading and understanding the scripture in totality,
right,
then you should be trembling.
Yeah, you absolutely should. You absolutely should.
Come to Christ.
Come to Christ.
Come to the cross.